disclosures and recusals. Item two. Anybody want to confess any sins or anything lately?
Hey, Mark.
No, sorry, Mike.
That was cool. We're just starting.
Hi, Mark. Anything to disclose or recuse? Excuse or?
Nope.
Okay. Approval of minutes. Item three. Anybody have minutes? I have minutes. I had minutes. Dan, hold on. I know I read them. It's
very imposing packet.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. You want to give me a copy of the minutes? I thought I had them open. I guess I don't get them. This includes all our testimony, right?
All the testimony.
All right, we need a motion on the minute. Are you guys ready, or should I take another minute?
No, keep going. I read the minutes, and
I did too.
Approval.
I read it. Okay.
I'll second.
All right, discussion? Okay. Changes? Anybody got any questions? Excuse me. All those in favor of approving the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Next one I'm doing on sheet here. Public comments. We have, I think, just one registrant. Mr. Brogan. Joe Brogan, my neighbor. Should I have to recuse myself about the fact Joe lives on my block?
You just did.
I don't really like him, so we have that. I don't have any dealings with him. 437 North
Street. That's a disclosure.
I could tell you stuff about him. Joe gave us, prepared statement.
Yep.
Right.
I have. First of all, I try to. This two-page thing is a slightly revised version. I noticed you were passing around the newsletter. This is a revised, not greatly revised, but a slightly revised version. And I distill that for tonight's presentation because. Even this is, I know on a busy day, it's hard to read. That's why, if it's okay, I recommend nighttime, bedtime reading for you guys before you put the lights out. I want to start by saying, well, this is a position I have is obviously not the popular position. I think it is the right, position. And I, at one time, even 2 years ago, when I attended some of the committee meetings, I sort of was on the side of not moving the houses. And the more I thought about it, the more I see there's a very good reason to actually move those houses. And that's what I put together here. It's on the premise, first of all, when I'm here, I'm asking the committee specifically for when you send out your RPFs, specifically ask for proposals from building movers so that we can get some information about what actually is involved and if it's even feasible, what it costs and so forth. Without that, we really can't move ahead. So I noticed on the agenda you have already some recommended proposal forms, and so the committee would consider adding specifically that proposal. I think it would be really the right thing to do. And the underlying premise is that city planning is going to increase the downtown population. We're going to have a more dense population. The city has always had a commitment developed, embedded in us by John Olin. We have a commitment and a recognition that park space is an important part of downtown vibrancy. And when we're planning ahead, as we are for building a population, we should include plans for building park space. So what's wrong with the plan? The problem I see with the present proposal on the table is that if we do in fact go ahead, and if the plan is successful, there's going to be a minimum of two terms, that's 132 years, into the future when we still will not have any park space. And even at that point, there's no reason to believe those buildings will be ready for demolition. That's one part of the problem. I think park space advocates should not be content with our plan that puts park space availability 100 and 200 and more years, hundreds of years into the future. That's the first thing. The second problem I see is that we don't know the state of mind and the political leadership that will come along without maligning anybody. We may have political leadership down the road that will not share our commitment to park space and sell that land. 50 years, 100 years from now, it could get sold and therefore be lost forever at, as park space. The other, I've heard so frequently that this would not be valuable park space. This is actually very valuable park space, potentially. That's why I know you have some graphics, a better one, but in this image, you can see this space that's inside those two black lines. That's the space we're talking about. The city acquired all of the land from that first black line to the end of where the Lincoln School apartment building is.
Joe, we do have a 3 minute.
Yeah, I know. That's like a minute and a third so far, right there.
So, gave me the high sign.
That entire additional expanse would increase the park by 80%. This part here is roughly 80%. This additional part is 15%, but it's also lakefront access. Now, all right. So now the next thing. There's only a couple other points here. We've been besieged with incorrect information, probably about what's involved with moving a building. Could be much easier, much less costly, and it will be a demo. It won't be as profitable, but the city could make a little sacrifice here. The property that's recently acquired in the 800 block of East Mifflin could be a relocation site for these buildings, and probably give a better life to these buildings than they will have in their present space. I don't think they look very good where they are. They're not vital to the neighborhood, and they could actually have a better future someplace else. Now here, and just in concluding, in other words, I'm in favor of moving the buildings. In concluding, though, I think individually, this is why I really came to my change of heart and change of mind. Individually, we have been very supportive, very generous to our children, to our parents in some cases, to our grandchildren in other cases, individually. Collectively, we have been dreadfully complacent. The national debt's a good example. The job market today for all of this next generation is going to have to fight for all of the things that we have taken for granted. Good paying jobs, job security, all of those things. Then most recently, we give up the rail line collectively. Not any one individual is responsible, perhaps Walker, but collectively we let it go, knowing that the next generations will need that rail line for their well-being and the quality of life. And still for $7 million a year, collectively, we're too complacent. That's why we can't be complacent. We have a chance to do the right thing here, and I hope this committee will take into consideration that obligation.
Thank you for coming out on this. Yeah,
thank you.
Have Christmas, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, would you be opposed to having the houses be moved close to the Collins house? Or what's your thoughts about that?
I think that's a better option than leaving them where they are. But the 800 block East Mifflin, it seems perfect. Next to Historic Breeze, it could revitalize. Could be a whole urban feel in there where you have new urbanism. By combining old and new buildings. The new buildings will take up most of the block. These two old buildings could be a perfect contrast, a good feeling, public market could be down there. It just seems like a good place.
So, Joe, you would say that you're talking about the Don Miller lot,
yeah.
Basically. You're saying that you think that a better home for these houses compared to their original location would be on a block that's slated for up to 10 and 12-story development?
Yeah, I think I don't know. It was 10 and 12 stories high.
Yeah.
But even so, it could create a little historic district that gives contrast with the old and the new and a feeling of urbanism that we want to have. We want the old buildings. There's a good location. There's so many good examples. Gates of Heaven Synagogue, it's got a very good new life where it is. Michael Maddy moved the building from downtown to East Mifflin Street. That appears to be a successful case. There's a house on Baldwin Street with a new building. With a moved building. So it's been done. They've been moving buildings for hundreds of years. I think it's a feasible idea, and we should at least get some details about what it involves.
Okay. Other question?
put the Stevenson's house there while we're at it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Is this your show?
Mine, correct.
Oh, okay. You're recording, sorry.
Yes.
I just made a horrible noise on the recording.
The wobbling software will take care of that.
Yes.
Item 5, new business. And 5A is discussion of the on the houses at 640 and 646 East Corn.
Sweet.
What do you want to do?
Dan, thanks for all your information. Do you want to like just kind of go over some of the different things that you put together here? And
can if you'd like. Sure.
Has everybody okay. read over them?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to just do discussion on the documents, maybe?
I don't know where that would, you know. I think we know the issues, right? Everyone knows the issues. And at some stage, we have to make a decision on, you know, do we keep this issue on the table or do we take it off? And, one or the other, we could. Yeah.
I'll make this succinct because I think we've heard this issue before. Both neighborhood associations, Capital Neighborhoods and Tail Appen, both want to keep these structures in place. They are historic structures in the National Register and the State Register. And there's also Gates of Heaven and the Hoover Boathouse are both historic structures in that same park. So there is a precedent for historic buildings within the same park that coexist very nicely within that park. The key to my mind for this property is that the land between the houses and the lake is public property, and that's not going to be affected by this decision. And so there's a beautiful bike path along there, and there is lakefront access. And so, to my mind, that's the key portion of this property. If it's moved, there would be very little money, if any, left for improving James Madison Park in the state of the city's budget. I think that's important to get money for that park. And I guess finally my last comment is that the committee of 2 years ago addressed this issue extensively and they voted to keep the houses in place. And so my feeling is just to keep the houses where they're at.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
And is there a second?
Second. Maybe some language. Motion that the James Madison Park Disposal Surplus Criteria and Selection Committee.
2 points just for getting the name.
recommends that the Common Council support keeping the houses in their current locations.
I have a question.
Sure.
I just want to verify for sure. By keeping them in place, what Bridget just said, that's the issue of moving is off the table then. We'll maintain what was decided 2 years ago in essence. Is really where we're at. All right. Then I just want to ask on here, say if we go ahead with this motion on there, the two homes, my understanding, are in quite a bit of disrepair at this time. There's a subject of maintenance of both of those homes. Is that beyond the scope of this ad hoc committee to deal with whether or not we're going to maintain them appropriate money or just what? Are we just simply that to keep the homes where they are, that's the end of issue.
Well,
but we would keep it under maybe a private person who would own them, and that's a different issue, I think.
Okay. Right.
I think at this point, we want to just discuss whether the house should be there, and then a later issue would be
right. Well, I was talking about existing maintenance at this time.
There is a new management company.
The new management company.
Last night, the budget commission.
Right. Joe, I had money approved in the budget, and city staff.
Yeah, I voted for it.
Yeah, and city staff and I are working on that. So some of the repairs can start immediately, and some of the repairs have to start till the spring.
Mm-hmm. What?
Just a procedural question here. I thought, based on our previous discussions and based on the draft RFPs that Dan supplied to us, that our mission was at least to get to some RFP language, which may or may not include moving them, but that our goal at this point is to come up with some specific direction for Dan in issuing RFPs, then however long that process takes to get responses, then we would make a recommendation to the council in terms of which, if any, of those proposals should move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So does that jive with everybody's?
Okay.
So in terms of your motion, I think maybe what you're trying to say is that moving the houses should not be given as an option on the RFP. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So if I could just continue one more thought, is that on that, I'm not ready to rule that out yet.
Okay.
I think that there's no harm in offering that option in the RFP, and let's see what kind of responses we get, and include, as Joe said, and I think this is important, is that the cost of moving the houses should be part of someone's proposal, if in fact that's what they're proposing. So that we might get some proposals that say, you know, I will buy the house for X and I will move it to a location they've already secured. And someone else might give us a response that says, I'm going to rehab the house and leave it as is. But that the RFP doesn't necessarily specify whether we will only accept rehab in place or only accept moving, but in fact that it would be either. And we can make a decision later based on those responses. Sorry, I'm still going here, but
sure.
You know, which way we want to go.
But is that part of the selection?
Correct. About rehab, sir. We can get rehab.
Yeah, I agree with Mark Clear, and I repeat what I said at the last committee meeting. I don't think we want to get into a situation where we're going to limit ourselves from the type of responses that we're going to get. Joe stepped forward with his comments, and you know, I agree with some of those comments, wanting to get the information back on the cost and all those other things that are associated with it. So just to reiterate what I said before, I don't think we want to limit ourselves.
Dan, can you write a two-part RFP like that, saying we're looking for something that either does A or B?
Sure. You can write whatever we want.
Yeah, if you tell me to write A, I'll write A. If you write B, I'll write B.
I mean, would you write them as separate RFPs, or would you write them as one RFP that is open to multiple ideas?
I mean, just so I'm understanding, you're saying a separate RFP for each property, or a separate RFP, one that says move the house, one that says doesn't move the house?
Yep, one that says move the houses, one that says doesn't move the houses.
Which would have the option of doing whichever one.
Structurally, how would you go about that?
What I would do is, I would write one RFP, and it would say, you know, if the committee is okay with the houses being moved or not being moved, that's, we can say that in the RFP that, you know, the committee will consider both options to move the house and not move the house. But then the other pieces of the RFP, you know, you would have a piece of that in the selection criteria. If you wanted to say you move the house and you get 2 points and you don't move the house and you get 3 points, or vice versa. But then other pieces of the RFP come into play about things like use, financing, all of that stuff that is going to be in play. So the committee has the authority and the ability to do anything it wants at any time. So if you say we want to look at all the proposals and you get a bunch of proposals to move the houses and you say, you know what, we don't like any of them, you can do that. You have the ability and the authority to do really anything you want.
So that would keep that option alive for the next round of looking at what
we're
right?
Just as an example, the Central Library Disposal Committee was faced with the same dilemma. And we decided not to limit the RFP, and we actually got back a spectacular proposal to develop on another corner. That didn't work out later on, but the example is a good one, that we didn't limit ourselves, and a lot of other creative people came in and delivered a proposal that was outside of our realm of thinking at the time. So, again, just wouldn't want to limit ourselves.
Yeah.
I'd be agreeable to that, as long as we can use the points criteria to determine whether one has more committee support over the other one. So if we have 3 points for keeping them in place and 1 or 2 points for doing that, I think we should make a decision at this point in terms of whether we're more strongly in favor of keeping them in place or moving them. And if you can do that via the point selection, then that would be okay with me.
We do have the motion on the table right now, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to deal with that first, unless you want to withdraw it.
I'm not clear on what you're suggesting.
Dan mentioned points that we're going to have to determine the proposals. And so if the committee wants them to stay in place, that kind of proposal would get more points based upon when the RFPs come through. Is that correct, Dan?
Certain aspects of the proposal would be weighted differently. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yes. The committee can weight any of the criteria however you want. Say you have 100 points and you have 10 criteria. and you arbitrarily assign 10 points to each one, and moving the house is something that you favor, but you're not dead set against keeping them in place. So if somebody says they're going to move the house, you give them 10, and if somebody says they're going to keep them in place, you give them 5, mm-hmm. or something like that. So however you want to word it, we can do that, and you know we can get to that on, you know, a little later on in the agenda.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bridget?
Yeah, I guess I'll just say, though, like, as a representative for the district, I've heard really comprehensively from my constituents and from the neighborhood associations who say we do not support removing these structures from this property in our neighborhood. And so, for me, it's kind of a non-starter to leave that as an option on the table for the RFP when I've heard overwhelmingly from the neighborhood that that is not what they support.
Yeah. I mean, looking at, especially at, oh, I'm sorry, Joel, go ahead.
We've got a motion on the floor right now. Mark, was that offered as an amendment, what you had mentioned?
I just
wanted to see where.
No, I was just, I think right maybe now. I just clarified that your motion was about what the RFP should contain, rather than just sort of a general statement of policy of the committee.
The motion initially was the statement of policy.
Correct.
And so,
and if we leave it out of the RFP, it's the same thing.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's not. Okay.
What are your thoughts, Steve, on this?
I'm the chair. I can be neutral. And I'm taking a grief. Well.
But he's the co-chair, so.
No, Kevin is.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you guys will vote, and I can sit here and twiddle my thumbs because there's an odd number, right? 1, 2, 3. That's right. 5.
Way to take a stand.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and going through this 100 times in my head in 20 years of history here, at least, you know, I understand the mayor's position. I'm all for parkland. Joe and I are both on the Parks Commission, and I care, and I've argued this battle for years. And the first committee I served on with this was about 92, and I tried to convince my constituents and neighbors that there was some merit to moving the houses, or if we could, maybe even taking one of them out and creating parkland. And I lost that battle. And so we're back, you know, 2 years ago we were back revisiting this, now we're back for a third round. I think the chances, Mark, or the whole group, of anybody saying, I'm going to buy the Warden House or the Ziegelman property, which has the most spectacular lake view in the city, really, one of the most, and moving it out of that location doesn't make a lot of sense. Would you buy that those properties and, you know, move them somewhere or around the corner?
Joe said he would.
Around the corner. Yeah, and, you know, and to move it all the way down the 800 block, I think, yeah, you know, that with other plans the city may be envisioning for that property. But, I mean, if you think about it just in that basic term, anybody who wants to buy those with the cost involved of fixing them up and maybe 6 figures to, you know, I don't think people are going to want to then say, well, I'll move it 6 blocks, 2 blocks, half a block, you know, realistically. And like I say, I've argued this the other side of the case too. So.
And if that's the case, and then we don't get any proposals for that,
we can leave it dangling out there. I don't know what the mayor gains from that, or the, you know, I don't quite understand the, mm-hmm. you know, I don't, you know, if we vote for the motion, I don't see it as a huge loss politically for one side or the other. I don't see the mayor taking a huge hit from ending this discussion. But I understand his point of view, and it's one I've argued mm-hmm. for a long time, mm-hmm. about park space is as important, or in some cases more important, than old houses, historic houses. And, you know, you flip your coin and take your vote. So, mm-hmm.
So Dave, actually what we're doing is reaffirming what your group did 2 years ago, in essence, on here.
That's real clear. I mean, we argued about Lincoln School, and, you know, the land there was a big part of the debate.
Right.
It was a separate issue, but the committee was very clear about keeping those houses.
Oh, yeah, the Collins House in there at mm-hmm. that time, too.
With its right, smile. Right. It was part of the mix. And so, you know, I mean, it's complicated, but it really isn't, you know, on this part of it. We got to leave them there and proceed, or not. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think at this point it's broader than the political question that you suggested.
It's
about, it's really about opportunity. It's really about letting the market sort of work for itself. and not closing down that access.
On that point of the market, though, I can't help but bring up the fact that I got to sit through a very interesting, thoughtful conversation at Landmarks the other night with regard to the landmarked house on the block with, church.
Bethel
Lutheran. And they've been holding up their redevelopment plans for several years now, trying to find a home for that house. Mm-hmm.
Let's put it next to these two.
Well, that's kind of something being around. If you look at the number of lots, and, you know, Dan, I thought this was fantastic, the data that you put together. And which one? This one. This one. And the memo that came out of when they moved the house in my neighborhood onto East Mifflin, and they identified the number of lots. At the time, it was that there are approximately 35 total residential lots in the Isthmus aldermanic districts. You know, there were two in District 2, eight in District 6, 15 in District 13. But the thoughts of moving these houses easily, they're large houses, and you start getting into power lines and trees and everything else. The distance to which you can move these houses is very, very limited. And then given the fact that there's so few lots available, and, I also sort of have to kind of quantify, in my sort of column, I have on my mind not just moving these two, where would we put these two houses? My first priority is to find a home for the house over in the Bethel lot, because that's holding up a very substantial redevelopment of a central Isthmus city block. So the thought of usurping that and everything that they're trying to go through to put together a good project for trying to find these houses, which, one, the neighborhood has overwhelmingly said to me that they don't support moving, and two, that we would have to, I would put that property and the issues there ahead of the properties here. And it's all, you can't just say, well, but that's a Landmarks thing and we're here talking about this. Well, it's like, no, we're playing in the same sandbox here, and we have to sort of look at what's going on and what's available to us and what the market demands are. And right now, there's another very highly motivated group who's trying to get their house moved in a very quick manner. And I think that their efforts are going to trump someone independently coming here and saying, we'd like to take your houses somewhere else.
And the question still remains, we don't know those things for certain. But we will if the RFP goes out and we don't get a response.
Okay. Anybody else?
Move the Conklin House all the way across the Isthmus.
Which one's that?
That was the one that was on Conklin Place near Dottie's. And they moved it over to the 600 block of Mifflin?
Yeah.
500
block.
Yeah.
Okay. By the chemistry building.
Yeah. I was just looking at the pictures that Isthmus took of the house going down around the square.
Okay. Right. He cut it in half.
Well, yeah. But, let's look at that then, because the company and the people involved in that had a really kind of comprehensive list of conclusions in their experience, that they say they are made with the goal of helping educate and illuminate the issues and hurdles surrounding house relocation. And, you kind of work through it, and I know politically it's like, yeah, why don't we just leave it out there? But it's like I'm in the seat and in the position saying that I cannot act to support that idea because I don't have the support from the neighborhood on it. Two,
right.
I don't think that this is a very good faith effort by the folks who did this to say, this was our experience and this is everything that went into it. And so for us to, this is my opinion, this is the position I'm taking. I think it's sort of foolhardy of us to just kind of say, well, you never know what'll happen. Maybe someone will come along. I don't think that will get us to a timely solution in these properties.
Mark?
I'm going to play devil's advocate one more time.
Go for it.
And then I'll be done.
Last word. Okay.
Just foolhardy implies that there's something to lose.
Right.
Well, I don't think there's anything to lose.
Well, to my neighborhood,
if we
there
get,
is.
But if we... It doesn't mean we have to support any of those proposals that might come to us. We might say, you know what, that's a really interesting idea that somebody came up with, but in fact, we hate it, and we're still going to go with keeping the houses as is, depending on those proposals that come to us. But
well,
I'm just saying you never know until you put it out there.
Well, and sort of the flip side to that, or the pivot to that is, you know, this committee was created because... largely because of the work of the last committee,
It's the next step in the process.
It's the next step in the process. Right. And one thing that I think is very important is to really respect the discussion points and, you know, all the work and all the conversations that happened in that last committee. And their recommendations and the Parks Commission and the Council all supported that committee's work that said, you know, we would like to leave the houses in place. And so to sort of, like, throw that all out the window or kind of move the goalposts a little bit here, you know, I think is very disingenuous to the rounds of conversations that I've had in the past regarding these properties.
Dave. Joe? Just another last word on here is what I put it.
It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
I thought I would shut up. I'm quiet.
Whatever RFP we approve on here, I definitely think there should be some wording, at least optional possibility, looking into moving the homes, whether it's just turning them sideways or clear over on, as Joe mentioned, 800 Mifflin Street on there. I think we have to see what might come back on an RFP, really. I don't want to slam the door on that for it. I don't think we're doing our job as this committee until we see what might come in on this. So,
can you call a question?
Yeah, I keep the motion in play.
Okay. All those in favor of approving Bob's motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay, fails. 3-2. Cool. If I voted, it still failed.
So what do you guys, what do you want to do now?
Well,
do you want to discuss RFP?
I'd like to get done as much as we can and hopefully finish the idea of drafting RFP. And we've gotten through this, over this one big hurdle. We should keep moving. Dan?
Okay.
I take a look at, we got the Garver and the library proposal, or RFPs both. To me, much of what's in the Garver is very... Well, for starters, there was no ranking. It was all the criteria were equal. And to me, the library one has several points that we might want to consider. We can add or subtract, but you've got those seven. A couple I don't think, you know, do have any relevancy, location, consistency with goals, but the feasibility and financial plan, development schedule, purchase and sale price, terms and conditions, and the design and plans for the property, to me those four all fit. How's that sound? Or close? Why don't we try to get the criteria established, and then we can, then let's rank them afterwards. All right, 5 for this, 10 for this, 15. Dan, does that sound good?
It's okay.
And again, to me those 3 through 6 seem to have to be relevant to this discussion. You may agree, disagree?
Are you keeping the rankings different between the 640 and 646 versus the Collins House? Or
We should. I would argue for that.
I would think so, too.
Totally different criteria? Or
no, maybe some overlap. But
overlap, but
different ones, too.
But there's been conversations that Collins House is much more suited for some sort of commercial or public or institutional-type use compared to some of the other structures. And
That would fit under, wouldn't that fit under design and plans for the property? I mean, somebody comes in, let's get at least the commonalities for starters, all right? We could say, you know, we could add another condition or two, I suppose, for the Collins House. This is I'm looking at the ones we use for the library.
Oh.
Oh.
What you got?
Okay.
There were seven.
I wondered where you were getting
it. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I wasn't clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because are you, because, well, because Dan put together the working
right.
working RFP draft, and
right.
so there's a couple
This is the boilerplate though, stuff,
yeah.
isn't it? Right? And then we still need to say, these are the six things we're going to judge by, and we're going to give point
mm-hmm.
value if you want to do point value.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I didn't make that clear, but this was the, I just copied off, consistency with goals. Do we have goals for each of these properties?
We should.
Development team. Do you have extra copies of this? Let me
is it,
this
Dan,
the
is
library.
This is the this
Roger, that's the library. Yes.
Okay.
On page 9 of the library RFP.
It says RFP schedule on top, evaluation criteria,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you, and then it repeats the criteria below with the point values. And this is, again, this is what we used when we made the decision on the wall project versus the Fury project.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a perfect system, but we had to start from someplace, and we each had this form, and we went through and ranked the two projects, and the Fury project came out on top. So, yeah, we can start from, I'm just using these as starter points so we get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there should be a component, maybe Bridget, back to what you're saying, if conceptual design plans, you want to put something in, I mean, that would say community benefit or community
impact.
Public, you know, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, and
a lawyer's office versus
a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or
well, what did you think of the wording that Dan had in his...
On that first page?
On page 2 of the draft.
Focus
on public use, preservation of the structure, and access to the site.
That's
a little bit different for...
Yeah, well, because, you know, I can see that the house that Hannah John Taylor currently lives in is set up beautifully for a single-family home.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in terms of access
yeah,
to the
public... Yeah, that's not a public use.
Or,
right.
So that's where I think you really need to delineate by property what the
right.
goal is. I mean,
yeah.
to sort of throw out there my kind of vision of, hey, how use-wise, what you break up. The house that Hannah's in stays like a single-family type home. Though, you know, it's got some cool views. You could also... I could see a restaurant there, but predominantly, you know, in those cases, someone might come to the table with us, even though I think, like, hey, it's set up really nice right now, it's a single-family home. If someone comes and says, hey, actually, this is also set up really nicely that you could do a restaurant in, I'd be open for that. So there's sort of, like,
mm-hmm.
that's where I'm kind of at a loss, because I have an idea of here's my ideas and here's what I'd like to see, but I also don't want us to be so tight and create such a small little circle for folks to come to the table with options.
Well, you could say we could have a
set sounds
of
so familiar.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Not limiting yourself.
Yeah.
You could have a category that says reuse of the building.
Right.
And we could
mm-hmm.
say, I think a restaurant is a better use as a connoisseur, well, not a connoisseur, but someone who loves good food. I could say, I like that option better than a law office,
right.
which I would never benefit from in any way, or
right.
a daycare center versus an advertising agency, which is down the block.
Yeah.
So why don't we put some kind of, you know, statement in there that says reuse
mm-hmm.
and what? Something about the public or...
Well, yeah, public access doesn't quite get to what we're sort of saying, which is that
mm-hmm.
the for commercial or institutional uses, does that, you know?
Well, those buildings can be reused for lots of things,
based
on the zoning or the conditional uses. I don't remember.
Well,
we had
presuming,
a whole list
presuming, I mean, that is one hurdle also, and I'll go back to this, and Heather, do you, maybe this would be the conversation for Heather to come talk about the zoning and what uses are allowed. And so when we're writing our RFP and saying these are all the things we think would be really cool, what do we need to take into consideration with the zoning?
Mm-hmm.
Two parts of that, and Heather Stouter, back in the black, if you don't know her, is from planning. She's here tonight to answer any
what
notes.
What would you like to see those properties used for? Daycare centers, bars?
You know what? Both of those are allowable.
A very diplomatic answer.
I suggested a punk leather bar at the last meeting, and nobody went for that. So.
Well, you have the caribou down the block.
I think that's an allowed use, too.
You got the caribou down the block.
What is zoning allow?
It's R5 zoning, so it's general residential. But what's so special about these three properties is that they're all landmark buildings, and there's sort of a second list of possible uses in landmark buildings. And what Dan's handing out is probably just the most pared-down list of uses, both permitted and conditional. I haven't differentiated between the two. So for residential, really, you're looking at anything from single-family homes to, you know, multifamily, even lodging houses would be allowable.
Mm-hmm.
Churches,
bookstore.
Hospitals, et cetera. The very bottom list is what's unique to landmark buildings. And so that's, you know, something you can take a look at. You know, typically in the R5 district, commercial uses aren't allowed. But years ago when this part of the ordinance was created, someone, I'm not sure who, recognized that for landmark buildings, perhaps there needs to be a greater incentive to maintain the buildings as they are. And so, you know, limited commercial uses were added to the code for them. And so you see, you know, there's nothing, you know, there's no large retail allowable, but, you know, anything with a limited number of employees would be allowable in R5. And I think, you know, having participated in the zoning code rewrite, any new similar district would also allow these same uses. I think it will be a, you know, general retail would be allowed so long as there are less than 5 employees. You'll see that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's a
new
huge
zone.
Laundry list, and, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Potential options. And we're not going to decide, obviously, we don't have any say in that tonight, but that's why I think we should have a category that says
laundry's not on here.
No laundry.
We got one of those right down the block. We don't need another laundromat, but says reuse of the properties. And then we will sit down and say, I want this versus this. It's very subjective. And then we go through the rest of the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe in terms of criteria, we should just
list all this.
Say basically, you know, that we prefer it to be something that is either permitted or conditional under the current zoning,
right,
as opposed to something that would require rezoning.
Right.
The only
and
thing
not
though,
necessarily limit it beyond that.
Right.
Right.
Mark, the only thing though is that, for instance, there was one offer that they've been kind of coming and floating to do a boutique hotel,
mm-hmm,
which, given how the R5 is written, is not allowable. A
mm-hmm
bed and breakfast is, because it's really specifically delineated about what that is compared to a bed and breakfast. Also, like, am I correct that like a spa salon is also not covered?
Let's see, barber and beauty shops.
Barber beauty shops, so that would,
that could probably be interpreted. It depends on interpretation, I guess.
Is a boutique hotel different than apartment hotels?
To tell you the truth, apartment hotels was a new term to me when I was putting this list together. I think it's an old term in the zoning code. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
Really?
I'd have to
antiquated
check
language
on the,
in the zoning code?
I know.
I'm shocked.
I assume it's, you know, shorter term hotels, but I'm not sure exactly.
Well, again, I don't think we want to rule out a use that wouldn't be permitted, that would require rezoning, but that we prefer proposals that come back with something that meets the current.
No, we can say that. Sure. First preference would be,
and even
to
a higher preference for things that are permitted as opposed to conditional.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure. But that's your list is much limited. I mean, when what's listed here is a conditional use, there's all kinds of really, I think, neat adaptive.
You can't tell from this.
On the bottom?
That's just what's conditional in addition to some of these things. You said,
right,
Heather, some of these are conditional and some of these are permitted.
Oh, you're saying
you
some of them are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think there could be a benefit in perhaps giving weight to things that are allowed in the R5. I'm not sure how much it matters from a planning and zoning perspective to give further benefit to things that are permitted versus conditional. I think many of these are conditional uses, including just multifamily dwellings,
mm-hmm,
which is probably a really natural use for at least a couple of the structures.
Right.
There would be a process. I think it's worthwhile on the RFP to just mention that there would be a land use approval process involved in many proposals. But
right. Going to plan commission is not always the worst punishment.
So. Never.
Anytime the city's involved with selling property like this, there's going to be zoning issues and conditional use issues, you know, whether it's the library.
Not to mention the referendum.
Yeah, right. That'll scare off most. Dan?
Just a couple things. Number one, I'm trying to keep track of your
stream of consciousness here.
So yeah. I'm hopeful if you look up here that you can try and see what you're all talking about as far as potential criteria. Also, and it's been touched on a little bit, but to be very clear, if you want, as the committee, to allow in the RFP something that you would like to see that is not currently allowed under the existing zoning or the new zoning code that will, knock on wood, be in place by the time this is completed, you can make a statement in there as well that the committee will support rezoning or conditional use permits as necessary, depending upon a specific use. For the boutique hotel is an easy example. And if you do want that, you can put that into the RFP. The other thing you can do with that, though, is I'm assuming you don't want industrial uses here. You can also sort of counterbalance that with some of the other things in the RFP. If you're saying you want, for example, a boutique hotel, you could also make a statement in criteria about something that enhances public access to a structure or brings a commercial use to a particular building. That would be another way to get at that from the other sort of the other side of the selection criteria. So,
right? Wikipedia, apartment hotel, mix of
now you're just showing off, Ray.
That's what
you got the new iPad.
Mix of rental units
and hotels. Apartments and hotels.
The way the Edgewater was built, actually.
Yeah, Astor in Milwaukee, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm showing off.
What's a Wikipedia for Christy? Anybody else?
All right. So we've got a couple ideas.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things? Maybe this is more a question for you, Bridget, but
yeah.
Are there other kinds of things that came from the neighborhood in terms of, you know, things that floated to the top of being
interested? No, and remember I kept asking people at the table, like, what, and...
I mean, everybody has, I think, their own personal, you know, Dave wants a bookstore. And
right. I think Collins House definitely it could handle... more commercial type use. I could easily see a boutique hotel, a salon spa, the house that Hannah's currently living in. Having been in there, I could see how that actually might work as a restaurant, because that's the one with the best lake views or something that it could easily stay a single family home and be fantastic. But I also recognize that you could actually do some other neat things there. The house in the middle, the way it's configured right now, I think it does lend itself to residential, but that middle floor has to get gutted because the refrigerators in the closet just isn't functional. So I mean, the middle house will need substantial renovation work. The servants' quarters on the third floor are currently used as an apartment. And the first floor, you brought up a daycare. The first floor has beautiful paneling. I would say maybe not recommend a daycare for that
again,
structure, you know?
We can fantasize about what, you know,
right.
Bookstore or Joe Rogan wants a library branch in there. And, you know, but tonight all we have to do is craft
some
general criteria, and then we'll get to fight out. We get to vote on which one you want best.
Yeah.
So, are you satisfied that these two, for starters, give Dan something to work with and for us to come back with? And we'll go through and put some points on these.
Yeah. For number one, instead of public access, I mean, maybe reuse. I don't know if you want to scribble this now or leave it and then think about it. Okay.
That's okay.
Reuse of the structure and integration of a public component. I don't know if that What do
you
mean by
it? What are you trying to get at?
Well, what I like exactly that. Like instead of a closed off like office, mm-hmm. it's like something where you can, you know, it's a, mm-hmm. it's a salon, it's a restaurant, it's
public accommodation. Is that what you're trying to say?
Public accommodation, yeah.
Or the Collins House too. When it used to be B&B. They had the neighborhood meetings there, and so they just allow the neighborhood to have a presence at least at sometimes.
Just a place where somebody could walk in,
mm-hmm. right?
But not for someone to say, well, I want to come have a picnic on the. On the grass.
Not necessarily, but
yeah.
scheduled events.
That public is just the way public access is.
Well, isn't public accommodation a term that includes, you know, restaurants and mm-hmm. and
yeah.
all kinds of sort
thing.
Of retail type?
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to have both phrases in there? Reuse of the structure and integration, want both in there? Or does reuse of the structure leave it open enough that we can say, okay, I do like a daycare center or...
You want them separated?
Well, that's part of what I'm asking. Are they?
Yeah, I think those are two different things.
They belong together.
Separate,
yeah.
Sure.
So I would say separate them.
Yeah. And both. Okay, that's what it was. Three.
Three. I don't think that it should have to be a permitted or conditional use under the current zoning code, but that, like we were saying, that we'd maybe look a little more favorably towards one that is.
Well, I wouldn't say that any of these things are necessarily requirements, but mm-hmm. rather that these are...
This is criteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, preferences maybe. I think...
So instead of criteria...
Use of the structure is probably a requirement. We're
okay.
not going to, you know, we're not going to accept something that says tear it down.
Or I want to mm-hmm. rearrange all the bricks into a modern art piece.
Yeah.
To that point, I mean, these are criteria that you then add scoring to. So, you know, for instance, if you wanted to make the proposed use as a permitted or conditional use in the zoning code, if everything has 10, if there's 100 points, this number 3 can be given 5 total points. If it's a permitted use, it's 5. If it's a conditional use, it's 3. If it's not, you get 1 or 0.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another way you can look
mm-hmm.
at it. How you play with that,
mm-hmm.
or any of them, frankly.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
It means that there's nothing that's necessarily a non-starter.
At least let's start and get them to the table. And then
But again, we don't have to accept any of them. We don't like them.
Fire station. Yes, ma'am.
Just one quick addition. I think if you would want to leave that a little bit more open, you could use a common planning term, just compatibility with the neighborhood, and that way, you know, among these uses on this list, there may be things that simply aren't compatible, but they're conditional uses.
Fire station.
The fire station.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay.
And so that might leave you a little bit more open.
So use under the current zoning code that is compatible with the neighborhood.
I would say that's just another criteria, compatibility with the neighborhood.
Could be good.
Yeah. And we leave it to the respondents to decide what that means, and then to the committee to...
You want to keep 3 in, then?
Mm-hmm.
Bridget, you want to keep 3 in? Joe?
Sure.
If we're saying, you know, like, here's kind of the list of things, and we'll rank accordingly to the point that Dan made about, you know, if it's currently... Because, for instance, the Ziegelman House is, like... is a multi-family unit right now, which my understanding is also going to be a conditional use.
Well, it says multi-family dwellings.
Right, but they didn't asterisk or star out. Some are totally permitted, and then some of these are conditional uses, separate from the additional conditional use list at the bottom of this page. Correct, Heather?
Correct.
Yeah. So she's saying, like, so the current situation with
mm-hmm.
its, like, 4 apartments would be a conditional use. So that's some, you know.
Do you think Forest is awfully vague? How would any developer know what neighborhood is compatible with, you know?
Neighborhood plan?
Well, the plan is pretty vague in that sense, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it could go before the neighborhood councils and say, this is idea, and then, you know, if you agree with us, then I get 10 points in this proposal.
Well, would that be, are we leaving it open for them to make their case in the RFP and saying, here's why we think it's compatible with the neighborhood, and then we would rank that?
Because the Gonders, who's going to propose something that's not compatible with the neighborhood.
And does item 3 imply that if it's permitted or conditional use, it's compatible?
Yeah,
it's compatible. Part of what we have zoning for, in theory.
In theory. Besides the fire station, which are, is irrelevant, I think.
Porn shops. Porn shops. Bridget, how about that?
Golf course was already
Burlesque is making a big comeback. I actually had someone who wanted me to explain to them why they couldn't open a strip club.
Gypsy Rose Lee House.
All right. So, you want to keep the 4? You want to throw any out? We're making progress. I think some of these other ones would be probably pretty easy to plug in. Are we satisfied with those? We still have to give them point values if you want to go that route.
This is something that I guess I see as an opportunity as the alder to bring something into the neighborhood that isn't currently there in terms of, and I'm trying to think, we've got a little bit of commercial down the way with the Caribou, which is heavily trafficked by the neighborhood and supported, and the laundromat, which is also heavily used by the neighborhood. In my mind, when I sat down and started looking at this, I thought to myself, well, and we've got the business district just up the way, so what role can these properties play in sort of helping to tie the neighborhood together and really work on that interconnectivity and, you go for long stretches in that neighborhood, and one of the things, Dave, I believe in the neighborhood plan, you guys, Bobby, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but is, like, restaurants. And, there are some things called out for within, kind of the business district saying, here's what we'd like more of in the neighborhood. And so in terms of, proposed uses compatible with the neighborhood, there's also sort of a thought of, what is our neighborhood missing that it would benefit from?
The trouble is with any kind of real, restaurant, what's the obvious problem?
Parking.
For anything that's going to be really a commercial, serious commercial use that might bring in, like my bookstore reference or drugstores.
Right.
I mean, most of these just aren't going to fly there because we have parking.
Well, and from the history of our business district that those businesses that do best are the client-based businesses. They're not the foot traffic businesses. Also, to my point before about a salon and spa, would that compete then with Studio 924 down the street? I mean, they just got Best in Madison. So, I am sort of thinking about how do you, if we have really great things in our neighborhood, I don't want this committee to say, okay, cool, we want to put in another salon, and now suddenly the, salon that's been in the neighborhood for 25 years is having trouble because they've got competition 2 blocks down the way. Mm-hmm.
Yes, great. Do we want to add some warning regarding some of the nuts and bolts of the proposal, like the feasibility and finance plan?
Yeah, that's on the
development schedule, mm-hmm. conceptual mm-hmm. designs and all that stuff.
Well, these 4 bullets that Dan's got on the second page, I still think work. The financially sound proposal that will not require city funding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put that one in.
Yeah,
that definitely have
that. That one's...
Purchase and sale price terms and conditions. That's what we use for the Monterey debate.
Also, Dan, I think yours is better worded and more has more to it than what we have up there for number 1 in reuse of the structure. You had a commitment to creating an environmentally responsible rehabilitation and adaptive reuse of the structure.
Did I write that?
Yes.
Or you copied it from something. We give you credit for it anyway.
Plagiarized or whatever. Yeah.
Do you like that better than which one?
Reuse of the structure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. Making some progress. Financially sound proposal. What else? Schedule. How important is schedule? Development schedules of...
Well, I think it should be said because, if this has to go to referendum and someone says, my lenders can't be on the hook for that long, we need to... a financially sound proposal that is compatible with the timeline associated.
We're going to describe that in the it describes the whole thing about the referendum requirement, so
yeah.
Respondents should take that into account.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, but they might say, well, maybe we could do it without doing the referendum. Do we need to do the referendum? Can we change something so we don't have to do the referendum?
I'm not the city attorney, but my understanding is that this will require a referendum.
Right. Right.
Any legal change, any chance.
Change in status.
Change legal status.
Yeah.
Which could be a change of lease.
Yeah. To that point, any change in legal status does require a referendum unless three council members in the room, unless the council makes an exemption and changes the ordinance. And I don't know what that would require and how much political wailing and gnashing of teeth there would be, but the council can exempt properties, for example, Obert Gardens and the zoo are both exempt.
Yeah, that would require an exemption to the ordinance.
Yes.
Which would be all in the process.
Change to the ordinance.
Right.
Yeah.
So
when those exemptions were done, was that just a majority vote of the council? Or
I don't know. That's
so I remember we debated Garver or what was the other?
They may have been exempted in the original ordinance that was passed by popular vote. But
I don't think so, because that goes back to the 90s. Yeah, the mid-90s. It's a fallout from an Atlantic terrorist.
If that's the case, then it was probably done by...
And the pool, too.
Right.
If that's it was back to the shoreline thing.
Yeah, that followed... I mean, it came out of the Monona Terrace, and I think the pool debate followed Monona Terrace, and we were not able... So we still... We'll never forget the fact we did that ordinance, that city ordinance, and stopped the pool for 15 years, 12 years. That's editorializing, so...
Just back to the criteria, I agree with the alder that maybe development schedule should be added as well.
To play the devil's advocate again, is this the point where we have added points for the houses stay in place?
We just debated not doing that.
But a ranking.
The ranking in terms of giving points. That's what I thought the issue was.
Yeah, but we're not at the point of ranking those.
But would we need a category in order to rank? Because wouldn't all these...
Because each of these is points, don't they, Dan?
Don't they all get ranked accordingly?
Yeah, well, I think the next thing we'll do after we come up with the list is decide how many points each one of these things gets.
Right,
so.
Or equal.
So is that a relevant category then?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
keeps the houses and keeps the properties in place
in their current locations.
Right? Is that fit your fancy?
If you add that, you have to add the opposite language.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I mean that would occur. I mean, we would say you get so many points.
Mm-hmm.
You would get so many points if it's in place. So many points if it's moved.
Right, and I'm saying it would have to be a criteria. They would both have to be listed as criteria.
No, you wouldn't. You would just
be a subset. Mm-hmm. Keep in place certain points, move certain points. That's a subset of 7A and 7B. Well, whatever.
I guess I'm a bit slow. I'm not understanding.
All of these would have ranking associated with it. You get so many points for this, so many points for that. Yeah.
So I might say, if we decide that was worth 10 points, I might say, well, I'll give a zero for that because I want to leave it. I don't give that a lot of value. I don't care if it's moved. Mm-hmm. Or I could say 10 out of 10 because I want the structures to stay. Yeah.
The way that I understand this is that the committee assigns the number of points to each one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, don't shoot the messenger, please. If you want the buildings to stay in their current location, you would give this, let's just say, 10 points. Three proposals come in. Proposal A says the building stays in place, you give it 10 points. Proposal B says we're going to move them, but to the corner of Blount Street, just around the corner there, you give that 5 points, arbitrary. Proposal C says we're going to move the buildings to... we're going to move buildings to Wanakee, so they get 0 points. And that's something that would work out there and reflect, at least as I'm understanding it, the desires of the committee, but you're not forbidding that proposal from still being selected because it may have a whole bunch of other things that you do like about it.
I would say, though, I would agree with that. And then, so for the discussion later of how many points we give, that's a pretty sizable, like, decision point. And so in a lot of ways, I think that that would, it wouldn't be a small amount. Does that make sense? I could see, like, a number three, permitted or conditional use, that would be a smaller thing because we're sort of saying, you know, well, if we have to, you know, if we have to make some adjustments, we're open to that. But, you know, in a lot of ways, seven is a deal breaker for me, and so the amount, the point spread for that is...
Well, let's get them all up on the board, and then we'll fight out the point totals.
Get your
dice, your cards out, and we'll go for it. Anything else?
My point is still the same, that if you list one, you have to list the other.
That doesn't make any sense, right?
Doesn't?
No. If you list them both, you give 5 points for each, then every proposal gets 5 points, no matter what it says.
Yeah, I guess I'm not picking up on that. I mean, if you put a proposal that keeps the structure in its current location, and you give it 10 points.
So we would all rank, presumably when the RFPs come in, all of us at the committee are all going to get copies of the RFPs, mm-hmm. and we're all going to rank them differently, and then you add up all the scores across all the committee members. So, Ray,
I get that.
The RFP that comes in that says moves the houses, when you fill that out, you're going to give it 10 points, and I'm going to give it 0 points. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that.
So, okay.
I'm still at a loss that, but you're saying criteria for not moving it.
It's...
That acknowledges, I suppose, then what you've perceive as the neighborhood sentiment and the previous committee's sentiment that we're putting this in the mix.
Right. Yeah. So that doesn't speak to the vote we just took.
I still think it does. I mean, I think by rejecting that motion, we're not ruling out proposals that move the houses.
Right,
but we're still...
You've already weighted one side of the equation.
Correct.
But... We didn't take a position.
It's one of many criteria.
Joe?
Yeah. I'm really kind of with Ray on this, saying Joe was sitting over there. We just voted against having something like this. You have something that direct, that number seven up there. Basically, I think you're going to scare away people that might have a very valid, legitimate proposal.
So then do you just
possibly
want to do it as the location of... The location of the proposal?
I don't know that location needs to be in there at all.
It's in the library thing. I don't remember how we evaluated it at 5 points. But we
have to address whether Robin moved or not moved at some point. And if you put that away, then there won't be any kind of evaluation of that anywhere.
And I have to say also, I'm going to open Pandora's box here and say, well, someone proposes to put... to move the houses, and they're coming with their business proposal saying, here's what we're going to do. Well, now we get to evaluate all the zoning, land use, neighborhood issues for where they want to move the structure. Because it's not just whether you move or not move; it's about what you're doing with the structures that I think is important. And so we can't just say, oh, well, we don't really care. Okay, take the house away. I mean, I think that what that person does with that structure would very much play into the RFP. And so if you're Ray, if you're saying that you want to leave the door open to that, well, I mean, that all has to come into consideration for the RFP, and it's a very slippery slope because it's really losing the focus of the park and the structures in the park.
I have a question for Joe. If we take this out of there, Joe, and where in the process does this committee make a stand on whether those houses should be moved or not moved?
Well, isn't it going to be determined by the other points up there, what they want to do with that use?
No.
I mean, necessarily that use, you're saying the use is predicated upon whether it's going to be moved or not. I disagree with that.
All those uses could be done whether
it's moved or whether it's not moved.
Yeah.
So why do we have to have that in there at all about whether there's point number seven on there?
Well,
I mean, you can argue both ways on it.
2 out of 10. Let's see, Bridget, then Ray.
For me, I mean, I'm sorry, this is our charge. we have to come to a decision on this. And the more that we waffle on this, the worse off position and the more we water down what we're doing here. I understand for, you know, the mayor's office, they want to keep this door open as wide and as long as possible. But it's really, in my opinion, going to come at the detriment of the whole process here and the whole RFP. And, you know, I'm sorry. We took a motion on a statement. Bray, we did not take the flip motion either, saying that we want to move the structures. Okay? So we have to be neutral on this. And in terms of the RFP criteria,
let's be neutral.
What has to be ranked, and one of the considerations to be ranked, is if the proposal keeps the structure in its current location. Because the question at hand is, do we keep the structure in its current location, or do we move it?
Yeah.
So the way that this is worded, it has to do with ranking and evaluating the proposal that keeps the structure in its current location. And that's the question on the table. Do we keep it in its current location?
That question has been asked and answered. The committee took a vote on it.
No, we didn't, Ray.
Look, can I just contrast Collins House here? Collins House, we will not accept a proposal that
moves
the house, correct? Anybody disagree with that?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that's off the table. That's not a point value. That's a non-starter. The difference here is that with the other two houses, we will accept and we will rank proposals that involve moving the houses. And they may rank higher on some of the other things. I think what we said as a committee, this is certainly how I feel, is that I think there is a preference for keeping the houses in place, certainly based on all the testimony we've heard and Alder Maniacci's statements about what most of the people in her neighborhood, but that we're not ruling out a proposal that might score well on other things, whereas perhaps might still win on points, but also would involve moving the houses. But it's still one of the criteria, and I think that we can argue about how many points it is. I mean, if we end up assigning that a maximum of 1 point out of 100 or 500 or however we end up with, it might not be a big factor, but I think it's still a factor.
Do we need a motion on this to get off the dime on it?
I think it might be a gray area. Putting that statement in there, it's back to my same argument. It's going to weed out people and limit what you're going to get back. I mean, it's telling people you get more points if you leave the house here.
So then I make a motion.
That was my contention on there.
I make a motion then that we add in, as written, term 7 to the RFP criteria.
Second.
Okay. Anybody else want to toss in? Okay. All right.
Could you restate the motion?
It's to keep that
number 7 in there.
Just as Dan has written it.
And again, we have to determine whether we give it 100 or 50 points, 10 points. All right, all those in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Okay, the ayes have it, 3-2. So we've got 7. Is there anything else? No, there's one here that talks about, where is it? Development team qualifications and experiences. Again, back to the library. Dan and I think we have chatted about this. If I'm a single entrepreneur, mm-hmm. would I be able to, do we need this in there? That says we have
so.
A team mm-hmm. that comes in? Something?
Yes, mm-hmm. I think so, okay. Especially, you know, just from some of the testimony and also some of the phone calls that I've gotten from people interested in the properties, I think it is important for us to evaluate the competency and the credibility of the business proposals coming in to us.
Right. If somebody comes in with a proposal that we don't think they can really pull off, mm-hmm. we're wasting everybody's time if we mm-hmm. don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you satisfied
make
with the wording here, Mark?
The evaluation based on that.
Is the wording okay if we just use that? Just development team qualifications and experience.
Yeah. I think,
and then we would have qualifying paragraphs of here's what we want to see in your RFP, correct? Or would we just put that and then they're left to sort of fill in the blanks? Do we give them some directive?
I would bet there's some standard language from other, maybe even the library, I don't have the library one in front of them, that says, you know, describe your experience and relevant expertise.
Yeah. If you look in the draft RFPs, just for instance, on the first one on page 10, we'll play with this a little bit. We talk about developing team experience and their personnel, identifying who they are, and then the second thing on page 11, you're talking about relevant experience. So
perfect.
That is a little more descriptive than just this piece. So. Perfect.
Yeah, just pull that in there.
And that does rule out some, again, somebody wants to just buy them and turn them back into single family. They might not have a team or have a lot of development experience, but they might.
Right. It might be as simple as saying, you know, we're going to hire so-and-so architect. And
exactly.
Excuse me. Okay. So we'll keep that one in? Any others you want to throw in?
Specific to Collins House? Or you're just keep copying them over?
I'm just copying.
Most of them are the same.
Yeah.
Do we put it in about Collins House that, or in terms of we are not entertaining a motion to?
Well, I don't know if that's really a selection criteria.
Probably
that's,
not.
That's going to
no.
be a it's core cool. piece of the RFP.
Right.
Is it a question for in number one, where it says a commitment? Is that standard language?
I was in the.
It was from the library.
Okay.
I believe.
You took that right off of page 2, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. That was on the second page, wasn't it?
Okay.
Dan's great language that he refused to take credit for.
Okay. All right. We're getting there. Any other suggestions before we close off the. Get Dan's fingers a rest for a couple of minutes here? Anything else we're missing?
Just in terms of process here, then, are you going to redraft and then at our next meeting we'll potentially edit that draft, or are we sort of done at this point and you're going to finalize it and put it out there?
How many meetings do you want to have?
How many meetings do I want to have? Zero.
I think we should, it was our discussion to come bring it back to us. You're going to tinker with it a little bit. Mm-hmm. We'll nail down as close as possible the criteria and the point values.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a final shot at it.
My thinking is once you've developed these and set your point values to them and set your next meeting, the assumption in my head will be that that will be the last meeting where you'll iron out any details. I'll have the final draft of the RFPs for all of you to look at and look at the scoring and the language for every piece of it for each of the properties. And then hopefully I can plug in some dates from there for when we would issue the RFP, when it would go through the process of approval at the Plan Commission, Parks, Board of Estimates, Council, etc. And have all of that ironed out in here. Maybe a few things left to be determined based on the final approval date. And at the next meeting, you would approve what you want the RFPs to be, and then they would go to the Council for Introduction and Adoption.
Did you mean last meeting for the entire committee or last meeting on this subject?
It would be the last meeting on this subject because once the RFPs come back, then
regroup.
Yeah, which would probably be I'm estimating in early August. Staff would take them in, just review them, and make sure that they're basically compliant.
This is
one before that was we would then say okay. Each of these has met the minimum requirements. They've provided the baseline information that you're looking for, their financials, their team information, etc. And then send them out to y'all. We'd set up the next meeting to go through them. Then what I recommend, but you can decide on your own, is that everyone completes their own scoring selection sheets, turns them into me. I would tally everything up, make sure the math is right. And then come back and meet for a final one, maybe two times, to say, you know, Warden House, we like this one. Ziegelman House, we like this one. Collins House, we like that one. And then recommend from there to the council that they be awarded the lucky winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thinking back to the sort of the RFP I sat through with the consultants for the East Wash corridor, and it was we said, okay, we're gonna I think we got like 5 bids. And we scored them and came back and said, okay, these are the top 3. And then the committee, we interviewed folks. I mean, we would do that here, right? It's not just whoever scores highest wins.
I was going to suggest that.
Yeah.
The committee has the authority, as far as I read the ordinance, to hold any interviews you want. If you want to have a public meeting where they make a presentation in the neighborhood, You also have the ability to essentially accept or reject any form. So if you get one proposal that for some reason scores 50 points higher than the next proposal, but you really don't like that proposal for whatever reason, you can take the next one. And that's in the RFP, and you reserve that right.
So that but doesn't... Okay. Doesn't it, does that invalidate what we've done before? In terms
no,
of
the RFP...
It does say we can pick any or none.
Yeah, it's there's a disclosure and disclaimer in here that lays out basically you can do anything you want. So this is meant to be a framework. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Alda, are you thinking of having an interview process or having the respondents come in and make a presentation, or are we going to rank them and have the highest three or four or five of them do presentations?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, I think, and we might be able to discuss that point depending on the number of RFPs we get back. I think that that's important. If you know, because like you said, Dan, we can accept all or none. You know, we might get one proposal for a structure. The RFP comes in and there's only one of them. Well, we don't have to take it. We definitely should, I think, evaluate it. Dan, to your point about neighborhood meeting and all of that, I definitely think we need to integrate a full kind of public process as to how we go about this. I mean, for one thing, I would like us, whenever we walk out of here with the conditions this evening, I need to be able to send that out to my neighborhood for them to take a look at, so that they understand how this is going to work. And I definitely think that, you know, I think people should come to the table with their proposals, well vetted and well formed, and then we rank them. And then I would think it would be sort of like, it would be too early and presumptive to try to make people, like everybody, try to get a hold of the neighborhood and present. I think we should look at what we get and whatever our, you know, our top ranking offers are at that point, sort of a public meeting with the neighborhood stakeholders and the committee, I think, would be in order, probably separate from individual, like an actual interview. Like, I don't want to have, like, everybody try to come out to this committee's meeting when we're trying to interview the folks. You know, I think there should be a public presentation to the neighborhood with question and answers that we should probably be in attendance at, so that we understand, you know, almost like before we sit and do our interviews, because then that gives us the chance to hear what the reaction from the neighborhood is, of, hey, this is great, or hey, we have some concerns about what's in your proposal, so that then we can come back and interview our top picks and ask them, you know, here's what the concern is. You know, how will you respond to that? Are you able to change this? What, you know?
Are we up to 5 years with that? I think I got it, but
yeah.
I got lost a little bit there. I mean,
Sorry. There's
nothing to say we can't have, you know, we get the proposals in,
yeah. You
guys evaluate them, the validity. We rank them.
Yeah.
We have a public, do we have to have three? I don't know. Would we want to open that up and say we're going to have the top three come in and then have other neighborhood meetings to discuss all of those proposals?
No, I'm saying after we rank them and we've got our top pool, then we organize one night where the top ranked folks, we have a neighborhood meeting and they get to have 10 minutes, 15 minutes to present their proposals. And then we were able to solicit feedback from the neighborhood. And then after that meeting, then we come back and we interview our top ranking folks. Does that seem like a
mm-hmm.
productive process?
Mm-hmm.
On the Central Library process, you may remember this, there was a partner organization that held the neighborhood meeting with the developers that made the presentations.
Yeah.
That may be something like we want to consider.
Probably Tenney Lapham, the Neighborhood Association, perhaps at Lapham Elementary in the auditorium.
And they did have someone take notes, evaluate all, categorize all the information,
mm-hmm.
and bring it back to us in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very good. We were able to.
But I do think it should be a sort of a formal process of this committee, and not sort of necessarily farmed out. you know, because then it's like, you know, Tenney Lapham's, here's their report to this committee. I mean, I do think that part of our, we need to be there to hear this, you know, and not, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the neighborhood association's responsibility to put this thing together.
Well, there were some similar developments. Don Miller's side, I was on that committee, and we had public meetings about what's going to happen to that, and it was very well attended. And also, the city road development, that 600 block of East Johnson was similar to. There was a huge meeting at the Lapham School to talk about the what they want to see involved in that site.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think some of this will come out as you get proposals, because I'm guessing that you may have one of these properties that gets one proposal, and it's a very simple yes or no. Collins House could have a bunch. You really don't know. But what I would maybe suggest thinking about is have a meeting where you come in, we'll look at everything, and then just sort of set some dates. But the dates would be for, first, the committee comes in and interviews whomever they want. It's very simple. And then shortly thereafter, there's, you might even call it a formal public hearing that the committee holds, where the neighborhoods are invited and they can have a very brief presentation by whomever the top folks are. And it's still a function of this committee. And then there's a public hearing where people can say, I think this is great, I think this is bad. And then you've got one more meeting after that where you come together and you've done your rankings, scorings are done, and hash it out to decide who's there. So you've really got three, maybe four meetings.
Wouldn't we have, before we do the rankings, you guys will give your evaluation, would we at that stage invite the three bidders on the Collins House to come in?
You could, if you want to. Yeah,
before we do the rankings.
Should we leave it a bit flexible? I mean, it might depend on the quality of the RFPs that come back.
And the quantity.
How many we get. Yeah. And
quantity is zero, for example.
It starts moving, and, you know, I mean, maybe we could do it in just one meeting after that. But
I think having flexibility built into the process is good, because we really don't know.
Right. And sort of to that point, I guess I'm curious to know, like, how are we going about advertising and getting RFPs? Because I think it's important that we get as many qualified bids as possible. And, you know, for some of these structures, like you said, Collins House, I think there's a lot of people kind of waiting in the wings that have been calling me saying, hey, I have this idea. How do I go take a tour, and what's the process? So I think Collins House is not going to have a problem for bids coming in, but some of the other houses, the other two, you know, and so I want to know, like, have you guys, is that something for us to talk about, or is that something that you guys, as staff, you
there's
have a plan?
There's a formal process, isn't there, for sending out for what you guys do?
Well, there's the formal process, but there's a full marketing effort that should be undertaken.
What we've talked about is the city has, I think it's called Demand Star or something like that, and all RFPs that the city does, everything from public works bids to planning structures are all put there. These would go there. There's also Property Drive, that is really for real estate brokers and things like that, where the RFPs would be posted there. They'd also be in Legistar, so if you do have folks that want to just get that, that's okay.
Can I make a motion that we direct staff to reach out to media, print and publication media outlets? Print and what?
And I say you do that.
Is that, and I think we should require the alders to go door to door.
Right, right.
She'll be doing that anyway.
Your districts,
right.
Okay.
I mean, and if it's a matter of you want me to call the news stations and newspapers and say, hey guys, throw it out there, we're looking for ideas, awesome, you know, but let like, how would you like
so
to
moved.
Do this? All right. See, we don't have job descriptions, Mark. You know, I was working on that.
I think the word will get it. We hope it will.
No, not city staff. My motion is to make Bridget do it.
That's good. Yeah. All right, let's go back. We got eight criteria. We satisfied with the eight. I asked that about 10 minutes ago. That we let things get a little sidetracked. But we're all set with those. Ray, you want to add anything more?
Yeah, I'm just thinking Kevin's not here. And do we need to add anything about being responsible for the shoreline, or...
I think that's the environmentally responsible rehabilitation.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're only.
And we still own the land.
Yeah.
Sure. We're not giving up the land.
Yeah, that's not a question.
Yeah, but isn't there a story where someone removed trees and didn't didn't bother to check and
That would be something in their contracts.
Well, Parks Commission's been dealing with encroachments, you know,
got that right.
Male people, yeah. But yes, sir.
To that point specifically, actually, and I'm not bringing this up earlier, the care and maintenance of whatever ground that they're leased would be spelled out very specifically in their long-term lease.
Okay.
Assuming that they buy the house, Collins House, or any of the other ones, and then have a ground lease for X number of years. Does the committee, to that point, does the committee want to take a specific stance about the length of that lease? I believe the last committee said something to the effect of 66 years.
That requires some thought, I think. I don't know.
I think 50 years would be a minimum from a financing perspective, but you can be silent about that, or you can be very specific about it, or you can even give a range. The lease will be from X to Y years, depending upon what's negotiated with the city council.
I don't know where we got 66.
It was happening between 50 and 99.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Oh,
you can't argue with that.
Let's see.
I would like, okay,
no, it's
Dan.
That's bad, man.
Maybe
I think 75 would be happy.
I would like some sort of input. I don't know how to reach out. I need to know the ramifications of someone going to get a mortgage and what the banks are going to tell them if they don't own the land underneath, and what the dynamics to that are, because the last time was it was completely subjective, the 66 and two-thirds year. Mm-hmm. It was a committee saying, all right, that sounds good to us. So I, you know.
It wasn't me.
So.
Was it you?
So I
did you check, Dan, on the leases for the houses in Marshall Park? What the length is for those?
Staff was asked to find.
Sorry, I don't like to do this one, but just it's easier for the printer.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not putting that in the criteria,
no.
So we're not. That's something we can.
Questions, yeah.
Do we need a motion on? Do you want? Let's have a motion on those one through eight.
Of part two.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I'm sorry. Did you make a formal motion earlier about having staff?
No.
Okay.
Or the door-to-door thing?
Okay. Make sure I got it right. Thank you.
I thought you wanted to put that in there.
You might still.
We
anyway,
just all agree.
We'll get a motion.
Do you want to do it?
Can we get a motion on 1 through 8?
Motion to accept
the criteria.
Terms 1 through 8 of the RFP criteria for the Warden and Ziegelman houses.
Second?
Awesome.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Any other comments on that motion?
Did you want to include the Collins House criteria in that same motion, or do you want to do that separately?
Let's do Collins House as well.
Okay.
There's no real need to separate them.
Ready? Any other comments, Joe? All right, all those in favor of adopting the motion regarding the three properties, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, good, thank you. Point values.
Do we
want to use 100 as a starter, or
it's like 100
it
points. Start
with we don't have to. I mean, we could just say, well.
Is this where the smart board markers come out?
I would say let's start by saying that each one is 10 points, and then let's adjust up or down as
There's
we go.
Eight.
And then let's just see how many total we get to.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least to start off here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see one a little higher than 2.
Well, let's just start with 10.
He's just
going to
type them in.
Yeah.
This is where we all get out our pieces of paper.
So that'd be a total of 80 points.
All
right. Right. And then
right now,
presumably we might have 20 to play with if we're on a 100-point scale.
I don't think it matters
No.
what the total number of possible
right.
points is.
Yeah. It might just be easier for Dan to do the math later.
That's
Dan's
what Excel
curious.
Is for.
He can,
yeah.
He's
very talented.
I can
tell.
Yeah.
Do we want to
adding points together is pretty easy.
Yeah. So we're basically. Is there any reason to divide them up between the two? in terms of the Warden House and the Ziegelman House? Because right now, Dan's got them grouped together, and then Collins House is separate, but is there anyone, are there any of those terms that we'd want to rank differently between the Warden and the Ziegelman? Does that...
Well, maybe this is obvious to everyone else, and I'm missing something, but are we expecting separate responses for each of the three properties? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, conceivably, someone could propose something for two at a time, but probably not.
Yes. But I'm saying, is there something within that, in the ranking, that we have a, we take a higher...
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean.
Because they're different. But, they're very different kind of houses.
Right, but we already agreed that our criteria for those two are the same.
Yeah.
Well, the criteria are, but now we're on to the point rank.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. Is there anywhere in there that we maybe want to do adjustable point ranking and have a difference between the two?
Maybe just a thought. It just occurred to me that the Warden and Ziegelman houses are occupied.
Yes.
So what's the ramifications to the current occupants?
They're on month-to-month leases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the ramification?
Well, they were never intended to be long-term owned and rented by the city. It was that was the interim solution when the city acquired these properties.
They would have to move.
Somebody's in that bigger one?
Right.
Unless,
yeah. unless they want to buy it.
They might be one of the respondents.
Presumably the tenants would no longer be in these structures. Mm-hmm. After this process.
And maybe just a mental note that we need to discuss how that communication process to them happens.
Everybody's told when they move in that the city can come in with a month's notice and boot them out.
I think I'm just talking about being courteous.
Right.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's...
There's legal requirements, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was trying to get them on 6-month leases.
So
which
of these do you think merits most attention and which lesser so?
Well, I have the structural question of should there be a difference in the point rankings between the Warden and the Ziegelman House on the criteria that are there?
I can't think of that.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
See, we might want to wait to see what proposals we get to.
That would be bait and switch.
Yeah.
No.
Once we send out the RFP.
Except you can ignore this,
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, each one of us will have some subjectivity to how many points you might actually award, but the scale has to remain the same.
So, it's a little hard without these in front of us to scribble on, but...
Well, right now, each one of those things counts an even 1/8 toward the...
Right.
So...
I would say the ones that stick out most to me is 3. I personally would be fine with maybe a slightly lower ranking in terms of that flexibility.
Okay.
And
change that to 8, maybe?
Or, yeah, sure.
Okay.
We can go there. I feel like 5 is really important and should probably, like the sound development, having a good team about you and having money behind you, that ranks pretty high. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fantastic if you come with the best proposal ever and you're fine. Like, I don't think that...
Mm-hmm. If it's funded by fairy dust. And,
exactly. And I think it's possible we might get a proposal like that. Because I'm aware of proposals.
30
like that.
Points.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, I think...
Mm-hmm. You're saying that that's approximately 3 times more important than some of these
other
things.
Well, I would say maybe 5 and... Maybe we want to reorder these a little bit, but 5 and 8 should be ranked higher, like maybe 20 points each.
Yeah.
Just from a visual perspective, would this be simple in Excel? You can give a total at the bottom, a percentage of each thing. Give me 1 second.
Now you just show off.
Yeah, we'll see how well you can show off while we're all watching.
Bridget, what about four or public accommodation rooms? Is that those?
Yeah,
the Collins House.
That's
probably
right. Yeah, so I think you're right. I think Collins House, that should get a higher ranking. And on the other ones, maybe a little bit of a lower ranking, because those two are more already residential in nature. You know, it's like if somebody said, because in my mind, in some ways, it's like if someone says, well, I want to keep the house that Hannah's living in, a single family house, it's kind of ready to move in and ready to go, compared to someone who says, well, you know, I have this idea for this thing. That I'm much more indifferent about than sort of Collins House.
Danny, all set on that? Or?
1 second.
I can't work like this. Gotta be quicker.
I forgot your name.
Heather.
Yeah. Yep. If you see anything you want to suggest, I mean, I'm not a voting member of the committee, but you're sitting here putting up with us for 2 hours, so if you see anything we're missing or you want to make your own suggestion,
I guess a bookkeeping suggestion would be to try to keep the points to either an even number by tens or maybe fives, just so that you're adding up to some even number at the end. Maybe would work. And then earlier I was...
Increments of five?
Five or ten, yeah, 5 or 10. While I'm still copying these things over, I think the RFP will probably include narrative that provides some disclosure regarding what processes the applicants will likely need to go through for land use approvals. And this is where my perspective is that while most will do their due diligence, I think it is important to include in the narrative that moving the houses would require approval by the Landmarks Commission and the Plan Commission. Just probably worthwhile to mention a few of those things up front. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about now, but...
Well, so if we're going to keep it on even numbers and we're at 98, then the 2 points, then I would say, especially perhaps because it's more important, but it's also kind of contentious, would be for number 7, add the 2 points there.
You're really fixed on making it 100, aren't you?
Or just make the 8
all
a 5.
All numbers are the same.
And make something else a 15. I don't know.
Somebody else?
Well, that would make sense, yeah. make 3 worth 5 points and make 7 worth 15 points.
All right. Anybody else? Bob, you got any ideas?
That sounds good to me.
Because, again, it's like carbon and turkey by committee. But
now you don't need to do percentages, Dan, because it's 100. So.
See, that's why we
can do it in our heads.
Ray,
is relatively satisfied?
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to get another kick at this cat. So
I lost that.
Anybody else?
This goes where now from here? Dan's going to work it out, shoot it out to us? Or
we would get, well, we can talk about bringing it back at our next meeting. Yeah. Could we do the ranking right at the next meeting?
What do you mean?
Can we do it online? Or
can we get a copy of this draft?
Well, let's finish the totals, then we'll talk about the next process steps, okay?
We got to do Collins House, too.
Right. Probably copy all those other ones over.
Don't tell them what to do.
Isn't technology wonderful? Sit here all night, so it's like,
So you made 85 points here. You can take out the discussion about moving the house.
Integration of public accommodation should probably be higher on this one.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Want to get 20?
So, yeah, why don't we make that 20?
I would even say 25.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, on that. For that.
You know, like,
yep.
like I think Dave was saying turning it into
a quarter of the ranking.
Lawyer's office that nobody gets to go in.
This is the Collins House.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And conveniently, then we're at 100.
Yep.
Wow, I think this looks pretty good.
Yeah.
A little OCD,
The other two properties, you like what we got? All right.
Oh, these are going to be identical, right? Criteria for two properties?
Oh, yes.
The same.
Can you make a motion to approve this?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I move that we approve the rankings as so stated.
Second.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right, all those in favor of approving the point rankings? Bridget, do you have
a... No, I was talking about
okay. All those in favor of approving the point rankings as stated, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Yeoman's work. Joe, back to your question. I think Dan said he would massage things a little bit. Now, do you want another look at all these, or do we bring them back and make them next meeting?
I'd like
to
get a copy online.
Right.
I think we all do.
Dan, can we do this online, or do we have to come back and...
I mean, a draft, I just want to...
We can't edit it back and forth.
We're not going to make changes.
That would be a meeting.
How do we vote?
We're going to have another meeting.
Yeah, what I can do is I can take all of this, jam it all into the RFP. Once you set another meeting date to... assumably approve the final versions, I can plug in the rest of the dates into the RFP for when I think it'll be issued based on all the approvals it has to go through, etc. Once that's done, we'll have a draft RFP. I can then send it around to everybody to look at ahead of time, and then we'll come back, and if there are final things to work out, there's always a date that I miss, language you want to change on something, we can do that. And the committee can approve it, send it out, recommend approval for the council, and then the council takes it.
So we're going to vote, I think with the library, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with the library, I actually sat down and did that at home. The actual scoring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right, it's not about the scoring.
Oh. Yeah.
Do we do that online and send it to you? Or
no.
That we can
I don't
do
think we
individually,
can.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have to do that.
You just got to pack it.
Yeah.
Okay. So before the next meeting, we would get that and rank them and bring that in or send it to you?
Yeah. Like bring.
No, you're talking about
two different things.
I'm talking about
putting down my point totals on the
When the responses come in.
Dave.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
We need those first.
That's right.
Yeah.
Once we get proposals.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just getting ahead of myself.
I just want to be able to see the draft of the RFP.
Real quick,
that's right.
Dan. Mm-hmm. Do we have something in the RFP about, I'm just wondering, in terms of the use of that lot next door, are we, like the green space, because there used to be a house there, or like, I'm just wondering, like, for the...
That's part of it.
Yes.
Okay, so the RFP for the house next to it would not... We're writing that you're contained to the lot.
We would... What I would recommend is that the RFP says we're selling houses and there will be a land lease of the ground underneath it and, let's say, a certain... amount of feet back on the lot, say 20 feet, 30 feet behind the house, and then the land in front and to the boundaries of the lot, but no further, so that people can garden and maintain the landscaping and whatnot, but that it does not go back to the lakes.
Because right now the tenants use it sort of as their de facto yard. They have their...
Just sort of like play yard.
Yep. But that, I guess, might be something to just make clear.
I think did the committee 2 years ago.
Yes.
I thought we had language that talked about the land. There it is.
Yeah. I think it was 30 feet.
Sounds right, but I was drinking.
That's the second
yes,
reference.
30 feet. 30 it feet. Yeah, it's 30 feet. So if that's acceptable, we can put that in.
So we're all through with the ranking, the point totals. Next meeting date?
Thursdays work well for me.
Thursday's 5 o'clock. 4:30? Do you do 4:30?
No.
Okay. No. Mark, do you have a preference?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Thursdays work for you? Have library board the first Thursday of the month.
Well, how long? I mean, this won't take very long, will it? I mean, could we meet the 27th? In 2 weeks?
I'll be gone. On our schedule, actually, on my calendar for the 27th, but conflicts with another meeting.
Well, let's keep that then.
Well, but he's going to be gone, and he has a conflict, so maybe we should look at changing it.
Yeah, it Wednesday the 26th would work for me.
I could. Are you gone the 26th on the Wednesday, Joe?
Actually, I'm gone from the 19th to February 1st. I'm here. So.
Okay.
I was thinking the first part of next month.
And I'm going to be in Columbia the first 2 weeks of February.
Yeah. Well, we're down to...
We're going to miss one of you guys.
That's fine.
I'd rather go sooner than later. I mean, could we do the 26th? The Wednesday? Do you have stuff going on, Dave?
Alder, you'll be gone.
I'm gone from the 19th till I'll be back on the 1st council meeting.
Yeah. You wouldn't mind missing a meeting?
No, I can.
Whatever. I think I can do the 26th.
I still get paid for it?
You get paid the same whether you're here or not.
26 is...
26?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
4:30? Yeah. Is time of the essence on this? I was just curious. We just want to get going with it? Or?
Yeah, I think I would like to get it out.
3 years.
Yeah. Well, but I would like to get it out so we can get the bids going.
Yeah.
The other part of your question about time is that now it's not an essence, but as we come closer to the referendum, there's a 45-day notice to the referendum,
right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Plus time to review the RFPs, plus time for the RFPs to be generated, plus time for the RFP to actually be approved. Puts us into February, maybe April of next year, the two referendum dates that are out there, hopefully to hit one of those two. And when you back into that, I won't say time is of the essence, but...
There's a calendar.
There is a calendar.
Mm-hmm. So we talk 90 days?
That's what I have put in the RFPs now. If you want 60, we can do that. The reason I went with 90 is that, especially for someone that's going to generate a business plan and all those sorts of things, probably 90 days.
Mm-hmm. 90 makes sense.
Okay.
So we settled on the 26th, though, for our next meeting?
4:30.
Okay. 4:30 or
5? Oh, someone said no to 4:30.
Well, I'll make it work.
Okay.
4:30 is fine.
Okay. All right. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
First, second. Okay. All those favor by saying aye.
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 Aye. All right. It's a good hole.
Go home and clean my apartment.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just kind of looking like earlier. And Dan, you'll get me a list with the points and all that, and maybe like a date for when the RFP is going to go out, so I can start to circulate that.
Thank you, Dan, very much.
Yep.
Thank you, Dan.
Joe, where are you going?
Where about? You in Riviera Maya?